wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron Guys, your home of the NFL south of the equator. We're coming in for you for episode 3. Thanks for listening with us, guys. It's been good. We're growing the community at the moment. Slowly but surely, we're getting this thing off the ground. I know every time I look at the Instagram, I flick across, there's plenty of DMs in there. Cam's been over there using his skills, sliding into people's DMs to get us going. So it's good to see that, and it's good to see everyone interacting. But welcome again, episode 3. Join with me as always. Cam, how are you going?
Good, thanks, Zachary. How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, brilliant as ever.
Yeah, good. It's good. I see the Instagram's been growing. I see we've 50-odd fans the first time. We've up to nearly 150, so going by that rate, probably could have nearly 100,000 by the kickoff of the season.
I don't doubt it one bit.
Might be reaching for the stars there a little bit. I think with the DMs and stuff, I think talking to other people that do podcasts, we're just trying to, I think we want to get guests on. I think that's another way to sort of grow our fan base and grow the engagement with people. We're kind of looking for people who are fans of the NFL and have a team from Australia, probably from Australia, because I guess we've got no allegiances to any state or any actual teams here. So we kind of want to have a 5-10 minute chat with people put in each episode, if people are willing to, and just find out like why they go for them and what they think their team's going to be like this year. Just that sort of thing. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that could be a good idea, because sometimes it's always interesting to see why people sort of follow teams and how they got their start into the NFL. I know it's always a bit interesting. Myself, I started by playing the Madden games. My first ever Madden game was actually Madden 09 on the Nintendo DS, believe it or not. I tell you what, one of the worst games I've ever played. Like, they looked like pieces of Lego. Like, they were that blocky and distorted the vision. But
on 100%.
Yeah, on that, I picked my first team. At the time, I was a bit of a young man, like the Brisbane Broncos, so I just felt Denver Broncos, why not, and just led from there. And that sort of grew myself into the NFL supporter that I am today.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right there. I think for Australians, I know, like, trying to find a team is hard, and I think for me, Madden was probably also the one as well. Like, when I played back in the day, I used to love Ray Lewis. And I think probably because they were pretty handy at the time, the Ravens, I sort of leaned towards them. It kind of helped that they'd won a Super Bowl around the time we started getting into it. Mm. So that kind of just lent on that. And now we are here today. Yeah, that's right. So I think we just want to find out what made people choose their team and why they chose them. I know there'd probably be a lot of fans of Patriots out there because of Tom Brady, and I don't blame them. Like, it's good to watch. But yeah, I think that's the sort of the thing we want to get into with people. So if people are listening, we'd love to have you on. Just hit us up and let's see where we go from there.
Sounds good. All right. Shall we kick off?
Absolutely, let's get going.
Orton in the gun. Buckhalter right next to him. Orton pumps again to the sideline. Batted up. Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
Righto. First up this week, we're going to run you through the NFL schedule. It's the big, big talk of the week, I think. Obviously, the biggest number this time is we've got 18 weeks of football, 17 games each. So the extra game, first time in 40-odd years.
That's huge. I quite like that. Just an extra week for everyone to get into it.
I know some of the old boys like Peyton and Drew and all that were all saying that their records would have been so much bigger if they'd have had that extra game. But
yeah, I guess stats kind of look disproportionate now when you've got like receivers going for 1,000 yards or running backs trying to make that 2,000 yards. It just sort of gives them that little chance to get that extra more yardage.
So essentially, we're kicking off the season with the all-important Hall of Fame game, which kicks off our preseason on the 6th of August with the Steelers and the Cows. But to kick off the actual season, we've got Return of the Dak as the Cowboys are at the Bucks on the 10th of September, Australian Eastern Daylight Time.
Oh, I reckon that makes for a pretty good matchup there. Like, Bucks coming off a Super Bowl, Dak coming back. That'd be interesting.
It's been the narrative, hasn't it? The return of Dak Prescott, he's pretty much everyone, all roads lead to him playing.
Yep, absolutely. And they've sort of strengthened that offense. Like, they've got some good receivers. Zeke's kind of, he's a bit of a weird one. He came in and went really well, and he's still going well, but he just doesn't seem to be that player he was. So we'll see if he can bounce back as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of that sort of second, almost second, third year syndrome for those running backs. They sort of come out real hot and then simmer off for a little bit. So we'll see how we go. But the other week one highlights that we got are the Browns at the Chiefs, which is a replay of that playoff game, which was absolutely outstanding at the end of last year. Like, that was just ridiculous.
Very keen for that one.
Look, and the fact that the Browns could have actually almost won that game pretty much turned the whole playoffs on their head.
Oh, absolutely. I think Browns, like, not that they underestimated now, but they're a very good team. And I think they've only gotten probably better. And with Odell Beckham coming back, like, if he stays, I suppose. But that could be a very good matchup.
And also, I suppose you could look at it, the Chiefs did have their backup QB then. But still, that was just an outstanding game. He played well out of his skin, didn't he? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. He was unreal. Like, you probably thought with him in at the end, they weren't going to make it. But he was very good for them.
Next up in week one, we've also got the Cardinals at the Titans. I think this could be a very interesting matchup. Look, the Cards have only gone from strength to strength. Kyler Murray, again, second year now working in, and the Titans are just huge, especially, we're going to get into this a bit later, but there is a lot of talk about a new wide receiver coming to strengthen their offense.
Rumors circulating and vibing at the moment, so we'll see what happens. We'll chat about that later, I suppose.
Huge on that. Another game that could be interesting, again, depending on the rumor circle and who goes where, Saints at the Packers.
Ooh. Interesting to see who starts. Yeah, well, I suppose with Aaron, we don't know where he's going to be if he's there. You'd probably see them winning that, but with Saints with no Breeze, the Saints could be a weird one. Depends who starts for them, I suppose.
It is very interesting, isn't it? Saints are going to be a bit of a surprise packet for this year, I'd say, because normally they're a lock for the playoffs, you'd think, year in, year out. But this year, it's very hard to pick. I mean, obviously, they've got Jameis and Taysom there. No one's really sure on who's going to start or who would be a better starter, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true, because did they? I can't even remember if they picked one up in the draft or not. I don't know if they did.
No, I don't think so either. They didn't really make much of a moves in there. Finally, we're moving on to the Ravens at the Raiders, which is an AFC showdown, which is always provides sparks. I think obviously Ravens going to go big, but the Raiders, they just seem to keep coming and coming with Gruden.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I think being biased here, like, I hope we probably get the win on the board there. I know two of our players have already gone across there in Ngakoue and Snead. Not that I really rated Snead. Ngakoue is a pretty good pickup for them. But yeah, Raiders are just, it's hard to tell because I actually don't mind Derek Carr. Like, he's not too bad.
He's a pretty good QB. When you listen to him talk, he knows the football game. It's just when he can he produce on field.
Yeah, it's true.
And finally, is this another week one highlight? Panthers versus the Jets.
Oh, are we talking with Sam versus old team?
Correct.
Yeah, in terms of the actual teams, I don't know how good it'll be. But for that QB battle, it'd be pretty cool if you had the new bloke.
Zach Wilson
coming in. Sorry, I lost his name there. Zach Wilson against Darnold. So that makes for a pretty good matchup. So I'm pretty keen.
It's always about the narrative, isn't it? Week one narrative.
Oh, always. 100%.
That's a big talk about week one, but we're going to move on to the winners of the schedule. I think I've outlined a couple of teams that I think will probably get sort of the easiest schedule and some of the toughest schedules now. So looking through the schedule, if you're not upon it, normally your team, you're facing the three other teams in your division twice in the year. You also face the teams in another division in your conference, plus another division in the opposite conference. And then I think Dior, that leaves us with three games remaining, and they are normally,
That's normally what position you finished in, isn't it?
Correct.
And they'll pick two divisions that you're not playing against, and you play against where you finish first, second, third, or fourth in your division, isn't it?
Yeah, so to sort of even it out, so you're not sort of playing, you know, too many top teams, but not too many lower teams. So it can throw out a few different fixtures. But so basically the couple of winners that I've got here is probably Tampa Bay. So, you know, coming back, they've got quite a strong squad as well. They're talking about, you know, the whole Super Bowl team starting, coming back again. We've pinned them down for one of the easiest schedules, basically because their own division is not really humming at the moment. You've got the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Drew Brees-less Saints.
Yep.
Plus they also play the NFC, their NFC division, sorry, is against Washington, Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles. Now, look, whatever they've gone through this season, you still can't convince me that that division is any good because basically,
It was probably the week. It was probably one of the weaker divisions in the NFC last year. So, I mean, it's hard, like when I was looking at it, it's pretty objective in terms of when they say who's gone, like winners and losers. I guess they look at its strength of schedule. That's based off the previous team's win percentage you played last year. So
essentially.
So it's a guessing game, but
But you know, you are looking at a division that had a playoff team below 500. So going off that, and then they also get the AFC East, which is the Buffalo, Miami, Pats, and Jets. Now, obviously, Buffalo, elite team, but we're looking at sort of like Miami to a second year. Could be a bit, you know, how you're going. The Pats, again, hard to sort of get a gauge on them. They were sort of around the 500 mark last year as well. And obviously the Jets, who have made a few moves in the draft. It'll be interesting to see how Wilson goes. But again, they did only win that one or two games last year, so can't really count on them for many.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of agree with you on the Bucks. I had them as probably a winner of it, and there's people looking at betting on them to go 17-0. One of the other winners I thought, NFC as well, was the 49ers. They finished last in their division, get a fair few of their defensive players back, and they potentially have a much easier schedule. I guess some of the games towards the end of the season, the Jaguars, Bengals, Falcons, and Texans to finish it off, potentially pretty easy.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think because we also looked at the Falcons. They had a similar sort of schedule to Bucks, as you were saying, and that's those same teams. They're also playing similar to the Bucks. They're playing the NFC East and the AFC East, and then they've also got, again, Jacksonville, San Fran, Detroit. Detroit, who, again, have Goff this year, could be an interesting packet. They get all the draft picks, but they don't have the players at the moment, so it's not looking good for them this year. Also, the other winners that could be potential is, I know we just bragged on them a bit before, but the NFC East, because they do get to play each other twice throughout the year, and that did always throw up a few surprises last year. But they do talk about Philly possibly just by the slimmest of margins having the easiest run because they don't actually need to travel much after round 10. So they're talking about that fatigue factor in the second half of the season.
I was finding interesting reading into that whole travel thing. I know it takes it out of you, but I mean, as a professional organization, you should be getting ready to go. And you're right. In terms of a clear cut, if there's a clear cut leader in that division that sort of dominates, they'll get a fair few wins on the board purely from their in-division games for sure.
So I think that's all I had for winners. So we're going to move on to the losers. Now, the clear loser, when you look up anything, was the Steelers. They have 10 games against playoff teams from last year. Three of those were championship teams, which was the Chiefs, Bills, and the Packers. Then next up, you got the Ravens. So again, I've got them because they're obviously playing in potentially, I think, one of the hardest AFC divisions, the North. You've got, as I said before, Steelers, Browns, and Bengals. So you've got to play them twice a year. And you also cop the AFC West, which is quite competitive as well. Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. Then you face the NFC North, which is the Lions, Vikings, Packers, and Bears. Again, that could be a bit of a much division. Lions, not so sure, but, you know, Vikings, Packers, if they keep Rodgers. And then Bears, again, could be a surprise packet with Fields. Plus, they also end up having to play the Stafford-led Rams, who could just be ready to fit and fire.
Yeah, I also had the Ravens in there as well. For me, tough schedule. I guess it starts off all right. We play, I think, Raiders, Lions, Broncos. Not to say your Broncos are going to be good or bad, but then we also have within that period Chiefs, Colts, Chargers. And then, as you said, playing those in-division games, we got the Browns and the Steelers twice each in the final 7 weeks of the And then within that time, we play the Packers and the Rams. And I think the Browns, we play 1 week, they have the bye, and then we play them again. So that's pretty tough.
Bit of a smash-up derby there, really.
100%. Because the game last year was pretty good between us, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and look, they're only going from strength to strength after their first playoff win in how many years was it? It was a good couple of decades almost.
Oh, a long time, absolutely.
Yeah. And finally, we just had the Bears from the AFC North. So obviously their own division is quite strong, as we mentioned. Sorry, not from the AFC North. They're from the NFC North. Yep. They play the NFC North and the AFC North, as mentioned before. Plus, they also have to play the NFC West, which consists of the Seahawks, Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. And finally, they also get to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers away.
Yeah, that is a tough road trips there. NFC West is a very strong division, and I guess when you couple that with the Bucks, I think I had one more, the Giants, probably because they're NFC East. I think they got early road trips to Washington, New Orleans, Dallas, then the Rams at home. And then they're on the road against Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Final six games, I think they play. They're not too bad. Dolphins, Chargers, Eagles, and Bears. So they've got mix and match. I think if Giants are going to be all right, they could go okay. But there's some tough games in there.
Yeah, that's it. And so I think if you take any takeaways from that, you can see those teams in those similar divisions because they have those crossover games. You can see they quite match up. So it's going to be tough for everyone, and especially anyone that has to make that trip to Tampa Bay. All right, moving into some key matchups that we've highlighted. A bit of the narrative again. Some of these games may not be good on paper, or sorry, on the field, but on paper, we're loving these narratives. Starting off with, I think this seems to be everyone's favorite game as you look through the schedule. Bucks at Pats, week 4, Sunday night football, Brady versus Bill.
Yeah, I did see the tickets for that were like average of $1,000 a ticket or minimum or something stupid. I think everyone's pretty excited for that matchup because I think it's the only team that Tom Brady has never beaten, understandably, because they probably hasn't played him. But yeah, pretty keen for that one.
Yeah, and I think he joins Peyton Manning and potentially one other player, if he wins, to be the only player to beat every team in the NFL.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Next up, we have a really good game, week two. So we don't even have to wait that long. Chiefs at the Ravens. Sunday night football again, Lamar versus Mahomes, 2019 MVP versus the 2018 MVP, and arguably an AFC championship game that we've sort of been expecting for the past couple of years but we just haven't quite got yet.
No, Chiefs seem to be our kryptonite. Like, I think if you look at Lamar's win-loss, I think three times he's lost to Mahomes and the Chiefs. So that's one that they've always had the wood over us, so it always seems to be a good matchup.
Another one dependent on Rodgers playing here, we got the Packers at the Chiefs. So the top two seeds from last year, where does that go? And if Rodgers is gone, this game just turns into smoke, but he's there.
That's the biggest question mark is Rodgers plays, huge game, Rodgers doesn't. Could be anything. Could be a Chiefs whitewash.
Exactly. Then we have on week 14, we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but we got the Bills at the Bucks. Brady versus Allen. I really put this down because I think Allen is going to change this narrative. Brady currently has 32 wins against Buffalo.
I suppose he dominated that division for so long, and Buffalo were kind of the whipping boys of that division. Allen, and I suppose they've kind of built around what their young core. They're actually looking pretty good now.
Yeah, I think he flips that switch on that one. We're going to jump back a bit to week 12 and week 14. Just like you mentioned before, both the Browns versus Ravens games, as we said, they're going to be outstanding games. Yeah, as you were saying, the last time out, it was a 47-42 Ravens win, and it was a record 9 rushing touchdowns scored in total.
Yeah, that was the Lamar Jackson going to the toilet game?
I believe so, yes.
Says he was just cramping, but it's hard to believe if that's true or not.
I know, but hey, it worked a charm, didn't it?
100%, it was a great win.
Then we're coming back towards the start of the year with the Bills at the Chiefs. This is the rematch of the last year's AFC Conference Championship game. And yep. I know, again, we've hyped up Lamar a bit, but this is probably the top two quarterbacks in the AFC that can throw.
Yeah, no, I completely agree there. I think, no bias, I think Lamar's up there in that sort of top players, like top quarterbacks, but Allen and Mahomes probably is your standard traditional quarterback.
Your pocket passes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that'll be a huge matchup.
And again, jumping forward, geez, I've gotten this all over the place. I should sort out my scripts next time.
Hey, that's all right.
Week 10, again, this is the game, if they're there, the game of the disgruntled QBs, long-time rivals, Seahawks at Packers. Obviously, they go way back multiple times as well with the officiating that has ruled in a couple of these games that has become the narrative. The Fail Mary, I think it was, from memory.
Yes, yep. That was huge.
So they hate each other. And then we're going on to week 4, Jaguars at Bengals. This is a Thursday night football game. Now, this doesn't jump off the paper and give you a hard on normally, but it's mainly because of Burrow versus Lawrence.
With Burrow's getting cut short in his intro season, I guess that kind of, you're right, it makes it for a pretty good matchup.
And do you find it interesting? I've seen this popped up before. Would you put Burrow in line for comeback player of the year as an award?
I think we talked about this the other week. There's so many players, like obviously we talk about Dak, he's probably the biggest one coming back that they're interested in. He could do it, I guess because it was only his rookie season, but that's a pretty tough award to win this year. I think we were talking about it the other week. There was a huge list of players.
And especially, do we even think that Burrow was even anywhere to come back from? Like, he barely got started.
It's true. He did put up some pretty good numbers, but yeah, you're right. Like, it's hard to gauge how good he was without a full season under his belt.
And finally, I have the Rams at the 49ers at week 10. This is two teams that are looking to rise back up the ladder. They were both previous Super Bowl contenders. We know, unfortunately, that the Rams were shut out in their Super Bowl. The 49ers blew their lead in the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. So both sort of almost embarrassed on the big stage, but they've got new QBs and they're looking to, try something new.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Trey Lance is in by then. Week 10, he could be in, depending on how their season's going. I suppose if Jimmy G's firing, you probably don't drop him. But it's interesting to see those rookie QBs, when they actually start, will they be week 1 starters or do they put him in like Mac Jones, later in the season?
Week 16, week 17, or if they're up by 40 to love or something like that.
Yeah, you sort of started getting those few passes in.
And that's sort of the key matchups we got. So I think we move on. Another fun thing that's been coming out with an NFL release schedule and teams have been getting across, I don't know whether this is to engage with maybe the youth of today more or react more with the millennials, I suppose, myself included. I just think, is that what they're trying to do, draw in? Every team has released a social media reaction for the schedule release.
Yeah, I think having a really good social media team is huge. I think it like it pays dividends to have a really good social media team and have a good presence online.
No, so there's a few huge ones, and I know we've sort of sat down and tried to watch them all so that our fans don't have to, so you guys don't have to wade through what potentially was a fair bit of rubbish, to be honest. But we did come up with our own top three, and I have a Mert three, you know, because I was just like, they were all right, but... So starting off with my top three, I really enjoyed, probably my number one was the Atlanta Falcons. They had the Gridiron Heights and the Bachelor mashup. I am just a sucker for Gridiron Heights. Every time I get on their Instagram, I just can't stop watching it. Coming in for my top three at number two, I had the Bills. Now, basically all they did was they just blew up stuff that related to their opposition. So they had, say they were versing the Dolphins in week two and they popped a blow up Dolphin. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed it. And they also had the blew up Woody from Toy Story when they played, I think it was the Texans.
So very good.
But finally, number three for my top three was the Chargers. They came in on a Zoom call with a PowerPoint, just some old school nostalgic word art. And I think, as I said before, just gets the millennial in me going, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I think for my top three, I like those top three. The Bills one made me laugh. It was pretty funny. I had some of the same as you. I think I'll go from three to one. Top bottom from three, I tossed up between the Falcons and Chargers. I went Falcons purely on the fact Gridiron Heights. If you haven't watched it, please do. It's very funny. So usually more in season, they'll put them out, but I find those hilarious. Bit of bias. Number two, I had Ravens. Pretty decent social media game. They had, I think they must have paid a bit of money for cameos of some celebrities to start doing their announcements. They had LeVar Ball, a few others, like guys from The Office, Shooter McGavin. So theirs was pretty funny. My favorite, probably not for the actual schedule release, because I think it was just they put a photo up at the end of the schedule, but the production behind the Cowboys one was massive. Getting Post Malone, who is a massive Cowboys fan, with Jerry Jones, funny. So we'll probably try and post some of these up so people can have a watch. What were your really average or pretty crap ones you thought?
Look, I had a couple there for starters. I think the Giants, they didn't do anything bad, but I think they just tried to do a Fortnite theme where they came after everyone who they were playing in Fortnite. And I just think it's just, I don't know. Fortnite's a bit yesterday for me. I also had the Saints. They came up with a pretty interesting one where they did a movie trailer with Cam Jordan running as an actor. And he was essentially, I suppose, a downtown beat cop. I mean, look, it was a bit... It was just wild. I think you'd have to watch it. But again, they just put something at the end where they just put and dates and teams and I don't know. It was just a real bad acting. I just couldn't get over his acting.
Sometimes the effort put into them, like they put in a lot of effort, but the actual execution of it just isn't that great.
Oh my God. Look, Cam Jordan, he's an unreal footballer. I tell you what, but gee whiz. Oh.
Yeah, acting skills, a lot to be desired, I suppose.
And finally, I had the Carolina. Look, their video was 9 minutes, so I actually didn't even watch it, but I just said, you can't be having that.
Yeah, that's yuck. If you want people watching, it's got to kind of be pretty quick. So that's your average ones. I had a few average ones. I agreed with you on the Giants Fortnite one. Fortnite's still pretty popular, but I guess maybe last year or the year before, that would have been like on point for that one. Yeah. Texans, people are taking a lot from TikTok, which I understand because it's very popular at the moment. They did the rice toss and it looks very cool in terms of throwing it up, the picture of who they're playing, but it was kind of average. And then Philly, the wall of graffiti, which actually looked really cool, but it wasn't that great. And then I had the Bears. They did the paint colors. So they got to guess the paint colors of who they're playing. Another TikTok slash viral trend. So that was okay. But yeah, some of them just really didn't hit the mark and they weren't that great.
Yeah. Cam, not a fan of his art by the sounds of it, folks. But I don't blame him. Sometimes it's just a bit much.
Absolutely. I think, as I said earlier, like if you have a really good social game, it kind of sticks in people's heads. And then, as you said, the Chargers and the Falcons, like theirs were funny. And people remember those.
Look, and I think that talking about social games, I think just the Chargers' Instagram lately in general has been quite hilarious. Good, hasn't it? Yeah.
They're definitely probably one of the best. I think the Broncos is actually pretty good because their video was good with Manning. We didn't actually mention those, but I think the Broncos one was pretty funny. Not as much of a schedule release like the Cowboys, but it was pretty funny.
No, I think, Manning has really retired and become just that B-grade comedian that everyone enjoys. And you can just have a great laugh too. So I think, is that scheduled?
That schedule's done.
Steps into it. Pass is caught. Diggs! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win!
All right, let's get on to some hot topics now. I think more of the big stuff. The biggest one over the past couple of weeks was probably Juwan James from the Denver Broncos. He was the offensive tackle who tore his Achilles during an off-season workout, but it was away from the Broncos facilities and in doing so had his contract for this year torn up. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, good Tennessee man, Juwan James, so I can't say a bad word about him. I think this is, for me, it's a massive double-edged sword because you see, obviously, once the season finishes, these guys don't always live 100% of the time in the hometown of their team. So a lot of them go home, a lot of them go on holidays. But as if you want to come back to the season out of shape, not in the best form, these guys like going away and working with people that aren't on their team. I kind of like when they do that. Like you see Tom Brady going down to a local high school, getting a slew of hot receivers to throw to. I don't mind it. I quite like it. But at the same time, I understand why teams don't want them to do that because this insurance doesn't actually cover them if they get injured. So I think that's the biggest thing. If they want to work out, they work out at the facilities and get injured, insurance covers them. So I think that's the biggest sticking point.
Yeah, well, I think it seems like this is a big sort of complication where Juwan James has sort of been caught in the middle of almost the fight between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. I know they were talking about because last year they got a lot of freedom because of COVID to go away and train away from the facilities. And a lot of the players did quite enjoy that because they weren't sort of under the watchful eye of their franchise and so under the thumb, I suppose they had a little bit more freedom about what they could do. Not saying that they're out there doing all these crazy workouts. Like majority of these are workouts that they've been given by their head coaches or, you know, their respective position coaches and things like that.
Absolutely.
But it was just that freedom, as you said, of being able to go sort of outside of the facility to, you know, a local field or you also saw like a lot of people training with a lot of different players from different teams. We're seeing a lot of that nowadays where people are connecting up together. I think it was Antonio Brown and who was it a year or two ago that he was training with? And that was quite enjoyable to watch. I can't remember the name, sorry.
that's right. No, I know what you're talking about. Like in terms of there's like Hollywood Brown, Jerry Jeudy, those kind of guys
that
get together.
Yep.
And they learn off each other. Like I actually don't mind it. You learn things that you're probably not going to be learning at your team. If you don't, like they're guys that have different styles of their craft. So I actually don't mind them getting it together and working out and doing it at, like when they're on holidays. Because you don't want to come back to the facility out of shape or not in good form because, I mean, your position's on the line.
Well, that's it. That's your job. That's how you put the food. They always talk about how they put the food on the table, you know. They keep the lights
absolutely
on.
Absolutely.
And, you know, these guys aren't going to go away and just sit and not do nothing. They want to get better.
100%.
So it is an interesting one. It will be something that develops. As we said, we think this is a big thing between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. I suppose the biggest thing is that they were able to, as we said, place him on the non-football injury list and they don't need to pay his $10 million salary. The league did come out and send this memo in response to it. So they said, quote, injuries sustained while a player is working out on his own in a location other than NFL facility are considered non-football injuries and are outside the scope of a typical skill injury and cap guarantee. Such injuries are also not covered by the protections, as mentioned previously, found in paragraph 9 of the NFL player contract, meaning that clubs have no contractual obligation to provide salary continuation during the year in which the injury is sustained. So I think moving forward, James doesn't seem to have a huge case because I know he is going to try and follow this up essentially and get remuneration, obviously.
Oh, yeah, he'll be following this up and absolutely like chasing down the money because that's it's a big loss for him. But if you're looking at the letter of the law, I get why they do it. But I guess, is there room for this like to sort of have agreements where they can work away from their facilities if they do get an injury, they are compensated?
Yeah, exactly. So, what's this space, people? It is definitely interesting. But Poor James. And again, he was going to look like he was going to start for us this year. They were talking about he only played a total of 3 games since he signed for the Broncos in 2019.
Yeah, because he was good for the Dolphins when he was there. I know he was pretty handy there. So I did think he was going to be pretty good for you guys. And, I mean, he has been pretty solid throughout his career prior to that. So, yeah, they were expecting pretty big things.
Well, that's it. And he was a bit injury prone previously. So it is, again, is this another like, well, we've managed to get this off our books. He had previously torn his meniscus and MCL in separate games during 2019. And he also sat out 2020 due to COVID. So
it's almost the way, as you're saying, for the Broncos to go, oh, can we get this money off our books without it hitting us in the cap? So you could be right there.
Yeah, look, it's tough. I suppose we could sit here and draw conclusions and things like that. But at the end of the day, it is tough for this guy. I mean, $10 million is a lot of money. You can't just sneeze at that.
Oh, it's huge. 100%. It's huge.
So, and especially with him coming back from an Achilles, will be even harder if he's not on a list. So I definitely feel for the guy.
Yeah, Achilles is one of the, speaking from personal experience, doing both of mine, it's one of those injuries. And I think it's mainly in those sort of high impact sports like basketball, they're saying players coming back from Achilles injuries are just never hitting those heights that they were before, purely on explosiveness. I know they can make it back, like Durant's still bloody good, but they regress. There definitely is a regression in some of those players.
How'd he catch my ass? What the f***?
All right. I think what we're going to do is we're going to move on to a little bit more controversy, which is going to be a bit up in the air. This is a bit harder to answer, no hard or fast, but this week Kendrick Perkins came out. So he was the former center for the Boston Celtics in the NBA. He did win he won a ring with them in 2008. And he came out recently and he said that it was way harder to win an NBA championship than the Super Bowl. Now, obviously, this has just thrown out the open up a can of worms, essentially, to use a better phrase, of what is the best part, or sorry, the hardest championship to win.
Yeah, I think this was funny. When we started talking about this, when we wanted to have this, because I think we were trying to look for topics for our podcast because there's no football at the moment. And this came up and we started talking about it. And straight away, my bias, I went, NFL, absolutely NFL. But over the last fortnight, I've been sitting there thinking sometimes I sort of flip and change what I think is harder to win.
Yeah, it's a big one to ask because both competitions are quite large. You know, the NBA has 30 teams. It runs for 82 games from about October to April, whereas the NFL has 32 teams. They have 17 games now, which runs from about September to December. But I think the biggest difference for me when you're talking about winning the championship is essentially the amount of playoff games. So in the NBA, obviously, we know that they have a 7-game series to advance to each round, whereas the NFL, it's one and done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the first thing that came to my head. I'm like, you can have an off night in a 7-game series. Like LeBron could play really average and they lose a game, but they're not too worried about the series.
Correct.
So I think NFL, if you don't turn up on the night for those 60 minutes, you are absolutely cooked.
That's it. I mean, yeah, as you said, turning up, you can miss one game and things like that. And I know, obviously, on the flip side, it means you have to win 4 games rather than 1. I understand that. But as you said, the cream of the crop will rise to the top.
Yeah,
every
that's
time.
Exactly right. I think in terms of that, they're saying the longevity of the season, it's wear and tear on the body in terms of playing for so long and having to win 16 games to win the championship as opposed to playing 17 games. But the impact and all the competition of the NFL is very physical in comparison. And I guess looking at Mahomes last year in the Super Bowl, as good as he is, and they said he's probably one of the best quarterbacks in the game, all it took was for his O-line to let him down to really throw that game away.
That's it, isn't it? I think now we move into, obviously, NBA is filled with superstars, and it seems like that one player can really make or break. Now, not saying that isn't the case in NFL, but obviously you're more reliant on your whole team. You know, the QB is number one guy, but if his receivers don't catch the ball, if his O-line doesn't defend him out, he can't do his job, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. So I think as you're saying, that one superstar, if you have one or two stars in your team, NBA, you can go closer to winning a title, I would say. Because, I mean, if LeBron's playing with guys, not to say Dellavedova's bad, but he carried some absolutely average players to championships or the finals. So I think when I looked at it, I thought teams at the top, when you start the season for NBA, there's probably those 3 to 4 teams you're like, these guys are probably going to win it. They're going to be in the finals. And they normally are. So I think you can kind of predict that from the start. And that's why I thought it's really hard to win one if you're not those teams. If you're a smaller market team, it's so hard for you to get there and win it, because once you, if you make the playoffs, then you've got to beat that team four times. If you're a lower seed, you've got to beat them four times. NFL, if you string together a few wins, get to the playoffs, like, again, that's not simple, but if you get those wins and you could turn up on the night and the other team really struggles and you could jag that win, but to jag four in a row, I don't know if that's really that easy. So that's what's kind of made me toss and turn on it a bit. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I feel the same, because I think we've seen, again, in the NFL, as you said, these superstars, like, they can drag their teams. We've watched Aaron Rodgers for the past how many years drag his team again and again to the playoffs, and they still, like, they were the number one seed, but he still couldn't make a splash in the playoffs this year, you know, and he just squeezed past teams and things like that. And I suppose the other thing is as well, in the NBA, you're able to control both sides of the ball. You know, LeBron has his highlights on the offense in the finals, and he also has those highlights in defense, you know, whereas Rodgers does one thing, he gets in and he throws the ball, and then he has to sit down and watch his other, you know, his defense play for him. He can't go out and influence them as much. So those superstars, they have like a 50% influence on the game. They can only play their half of the ball, whereas on the NBA side of things, they can literally, they're there the whole time. You know, obviously they get subbed off now and again, but majority of the time they're there, they're in control of both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. That's what kind of made me think about it in terms of LeBron could play all night. He could play all minutes of the game and influence every single play of the game. Whether that means they win, I don't know. But, like, you're right. In terms of, if you play 50% of the game or less, depending on how long you have the ball, you can't control that game.
Yeah. So I think we land on the point where I think we're leaning towards the NFL is probably harder. It's just that, that's what I'm leaning towards. It's just that you can have those superstars that band together and they can help you and they can drag you, but you need that whole team. Like we saw with Tampa Bay and we've seen with Tom Brady previously, he's never been like the elite quarterback. He's never been viewed as like the most amazing guy. You know, there was always Peyton. There was always Aaron Rodgers. There was always Drew Brees. Even before that, like, you talk about Montana going back a while. But yeah,
I think Brady, people like to try and write him off, didn't they? Like, he was probably one of the best, but they like to try and write him off, and then he'd just come back and win it.
Yeah, exactly. But Brady had always had that team. Not saying that he wasn't good, so, but he was, he possibly may not have been able to win all those rings if he were with a different team. Whereas now he's with those good teams and they have a good system together and they work together. So it actually, you know, it makes it harder. He's not able to win that by himself. Whereas, as we said previously, you know, some of those NBA teams that have won in the past 10 years. I mean, how many finals has LeBron been to in the last 10 years? He's pretty much absolutely been there with every team.
Yeah, unless you're on his team when he was in the East, he was in a majority of finals. So that's why I've, like, leaned back towards the NBA when I was on NFL side, was that if you're not in that team, it's so hard to get there.
Yeah.
Like, getting there is probably the hardest thing.
So we land on the NFL is probably harder to win, but the NBA is hard to win unless you're playing with LeBron.
Yeah, look, in summation, yeah. I think for bias for me, I lean towards NFL. And I guess when I think about basketball, I look at March Madness. March Madness is a similar style in terms of, you have one game. If you lose that game, you're out. That is it. And that's a very hard tournament to win. I mean, no one predicts a perfect bracket. So,
I don't think that's ever happened. And you don't ever see much of the number one seed making it through, do you?
No, not all four. Definitely not all four. So you'll get one or two through, but yeah, you're right. Like, sometimes there'll be a seed that's lower that's not predicted to get through that'll just upset a few teams to get there, but they probably won't make it all the way. But look, so, I think this is going to be one that's going to be argued about for a while. I like Perkins bringing it up. I think he's a pretty funny guy. He tries to stay relevant. So this is a good way of him staying relevant. But look, I think I'd lean towards NFL. We'll probably ask our followers and see what they think. And we probably might get a few interesting answers we can talk about next episode. But for me, NFL.
I think that's it. You heard the man. Slide into our DMs right now. Catch up on our socials. Hit us up. Let us know. Call us an idiot and tell us why we're wrong. And we'll come back at you on the podcast next week. I like the sound of that.
Absolutely. All right. Look, we're getting close to the end, but there's a few things that have happened over the last week. I think probably one of the biggest ones is Julio Jones.
Rumor mill.
I think it was kind of pushed into the highlight reel when Shannon Sharp called him with Skip Bayless and just, I don't know if he knew he was live on air, but they just started talking because he was spotted wearing a Dallas Cowboys jumper and he just wanted to know whether it was true or not. if he was going to go to Dallas. And obviously Julio said, nah, I want to go to a team that's winning. So they kind of ruled them out. But there's just speculation on where he's going to go. Where do you think he lands?
God, I mean, I know we talked about this at the start of the season. You're like, oh, I've heard Julio might go. And I was like, interesting, you know, whatever. They didn't have the greatest season last year. And, you know, he's had a tough ride. I feel for him. You know, it was always sort of like Julio and Larry Fitzgerald together as like the best wide receivers, but they just were never on the teams that win, did they?
That's right.
So you just sort of thought, oh, maybe he'll just stick it out because Fitz stuck it out. Like that man, trooper, credit to him. But I always thought that Julio would, and I sort of thought as well through the draft, I was like, geez, these guys actually look all right. You know, Matty Ryan's got a couple more years, but I think Julio's just sick of it. So I think whether it's more of a sort of a front office thing or just the playing group he's in, he's just, yeah, I think he's had enough. He needs a change of scenery. There obviously was a huge talk of Dallas. That was a big one, but he shut that down, as you said. And also, I hope he's good friends with him because, yeah, he almost threw him under the bus there, I thought, old mate, on the telly.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp did. Yeah, he sort of threw him under the bus. Yeah, look, I think whatever team he goes to definitely makes them a contender. Like, he puts those teams that are kind of there over the top on the offense side. Like, looking at the teams he's rumored to, Patriots is one. I don't know whether that puts them based on their QB situation. Titans, I think we were talking about earlier today. You pair him up.
Huge.
Yeah, you pair him up with AJ Brown and you've obviously got Derrick Henry and Tony Hill's capable. We know that. Mm. That makes them really, really tough to beat.
It actually makes them pretty scary. Like those guys have been up there in the past couple of years in the playoffs and you have absolutely been wondering whether they're just missing that little piece to make it that much better, aren't they? Because I know Tannehill is a good QB and he's really revitalized his career with Tennessee. He's not elite to make that next step, but does he have that weapon where he can just throw it out and let his play, you know, Julio play, make plays? Does that him look that much better?
Yeah, I think the odds are out there and there's so many different odds of what team he's going to land on. I think you look at the Titans, the Colts, Packers, if they really try and make a push to keep Aaron, do they go for him? I reckon that'd be pretty cool. I wouldn't want to play against him. Ravens have also been talked about, but we picked up a few wide receivers. Denver has been talked about, and I think the list goes on and I think it's after that June 1st. I think we talked the other day that the cap hit for Falcons comes into effect. If they trade him after June 1st, they don't get as big of a cap hit. So I think that's probably the key date to look out for. So by next podcast, I think we might have a decision.
Yeah, and that's definitely huge in this market. I know obviously COVID hit last year, so everyone's, you know, keeping an eye on their cap and what sort of expenditure they're having at the moment. So it's definitely, yeah, as you said, it's not going to be for another week or two, but once that June hits, I'm sure all bets are off. And there'll be probably some floodgates as well for a few other people moving around.
Oh, definitely. It definitely opens the door for other movements. So I think this is kind of a watch this space at the moment. There's so much speculation, but I think we'll just have to watch this space. The other thing we've been seeing on the socials, and I think it's pretty interesting, is OTAs, organized team trainings, isn't it?
Yeah, no pads though, but
no pads.
That's where they get everyone out there.
We've seen some no-shows. There's been a few no-shows. Aaron Rodgers, understandably. Deshaun Watson, understandably. But I did read that the Packers had 5 of their top 5 wide receivers not show up, so they had to find try and pull together some wide receivers for Love to throw to. I haven't seen many of the other teams, but Ravens had a good showing. I think they had 80 of their players there. Obviously, they're not going to make the final squad. But it's a good time of year. OTAs are back.
Yeah, it's good. Now, this is where we get to see a few highlights of the boys because, as I said, they don't play in any pads. So everyone gets out there and they make the skill moves. They do talk about that, though. You do hear about some of the ex-players going, you know, it's all fun and well without the pads on. And, you know, you get your highlight videos up. You maybe make a little reel that you can give to the teams when if you're undrafted or you don't get signed this year. But it's really once those pads go on, that's when I start watching those sort of trainings because that's when the boys get shafted across from the men.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think for now, that probably brings us to the end of this episode. I think the last thing I wanted to say, I guess we spoke about at the start of the episode, we definitely are looking for people to come on as a guest. So if you're really interested, we'd love to have you on just to speak for 5 or 10 minutes, just to know why you like the NFL, why you like your team. The other thing is I think we've been doing fortnightly podcasts and we're going to continue to do that. But I think on the opposite weeks, just as we're coming towards the season, I think because of the 8 divisions, I think we're going to do a breakdown projections every off week. So we'll have our longer episodes 1 week and then the next week we'll do 1 division. And then we'll do that all the way until the start of the season. And then that sort of launches us into the season.
Love that.
All right. So I think that wraps it up for episode 3. Zach, thanks again for joining me.
It's been real. It's been good. Just hasn't been real good.
Love that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.